I'm quite confident that this audience realizes that we're living in a world where oftentimes a man's success is judged, it is measured by how much they have, what they've accumulated in this life. You may have, at some point in time, seen the bumper sticker that reads, "Whoever dies with the most toys wins." I think that correctly depicts the attitude of so many within the world. But if you're familiar with the New Testament, you know that Jesus taught that real success in life is not measured by how much you have. That's not what measures true success. And one way that Jesus taught the truth that our success is not measured by how much we have when we die is when he tells a story about the life and the death of a very rich man. So, as we think about what we're going to look at today, before we get into the story, just put this out for everyone. If you are an individual who is retired, if you are someone who is planning to retire, if you're someone that is financially secure and comfortable, if you are someone that would like most of all to be secure, to be comfortable, maybe you're in the audience and you're young and you're planning your life out, you're thinking about your career, I want you to know that there's special value for you, what we find in Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 12 about the life and the death of a rich fool. Now, before we go and read the parable that we'll be looking at, I think it's good for us to notice kind of the settings and why Jesus told this story to start with. When we look in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, "In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, 'Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So as we look at this and we see the crowd of individuals that have gathered, there's so many that they're trampling on one another. Notice what it is that Jesus talks about. Jesus begins speaking about salvation. He starts talking about condemnation. He even talks about the duty that they have. He mentions providence of what's going to take place when you stand before the authorities. And then it seems that there is a man who is more interested in material matters than in spiritual truth, comes in and apparently interrupts Jesus, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now the way Jesus answered this man's very abrupt request was with a question implying that that's not the reason he came to this earth. Jesus did not come to this earth to resolve disputes of mundane things. He said in verse 14, "But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And then Jesus uttered a solemn admonition. It's something that was true 2,000 plus years ago. It's still true today, and it will remain true until the coming of Jesus again. He says in the first part of verse 15 of chapter 12, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And when he gives that warning, he gives the reason for it. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Why? For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. And that's the background for the story that Jesus tells about the rich fool. So let's listen to the parable now and think about how Jesus uses it to illustrate why real success is not measured by what we possess in this life. Starting in verse 16, "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." As you think about this story, very familiar story. I'm sure that many of us recite this story and tell it again. But as we think about these solemn words, I want us to make sure that we're not missing the point that Jesus is making. Jesus does not call this man a fool because he was dishonest. And he gathered all his riches by dishonest gain, by fraud and by deceit. He wasn't out stealing these things. That's not why Jesus called him a fool. Jesus did not call this man a fool. God did not say that he was a fool because he was immoral or a liar. We don't see a picture of Jesus painting this man as a drunkard or an idolater. The Lord didn't call this man a fool because he had done some harm to someone. And as we think about this, it's probably good for us to notice that the things that Jesus says about this man are not bad in and of themselves. Go back to verse 16. He says the ground yielded plentifully. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Brady, I just happened to glance your way, and I'll tell you, you were on my mind earlier as we are thinking about spring's coming. There's no harm whatsoever in a man doing things necessary and God providing for him and his ground bringing forth plentifully. Verse 17 says that the yield was so great that it overflowed his barns. There's nothing wrong with that. You've got some crops so much that your barns aren't going to hold it. There's nothing wrong with that. In verse 17, he goes on and says that he thought about how he could fix that. He's got a problem here. I've got too much. It's more than what my barns can store. So I'm going to tear these things down. I'm going to build bigger. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. In verse 18, building those bigger barns. Verse 19 says he intended to enjoy the fruit of his labor. I want to suggest to you, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Of making a plan, executing that plan, having the resources and such set up, there's nothing necessarily wrong with enjoying the fruit of our labors. So this man that God calls a fool, it's not because he was rich. It's not because he was lazy. It's not because he was immoral. Not because he was dishonest. And not because he tried to prepare for mundane everyday life, his needs. Well, you might be asking, well, then what was the problem? God, very clearly, God says to him, fool. What made this man so foolish? Well, that's where I think we can notice some of the mistakes that this foolish man made. Fatal mistakes. There are four that I think that are presented here. One of which is that this man left God out of his plans. He left God out of his thoughts. Notice in this story, there is nowhere mentioned of this man, of God mentioned by this individual. It's not until Jesus says, God said. What did this man see? What do we know about this man? What we do notice is that this individual had what has been described as eye trouble. It was, I do this and I will do that. And it's my barns, and it's my crops. This man had left God out of his plans, all the things. He didn't look and say, God has blessed me plentifully, and if God allows, I will be able to tear down my barns and build bigger. Man was a fool because he left God out of his thoughts and out of his plans. A second fatal mistake that this man made, why he is a fool, is that he foolishly thought the material things was all that he needed. Notice again verses 18 and 19. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What's going to make it such that he can sit back and take it easy? All the goods that he stored up. Jesus paints a picture of this man who has his thoughts that all the things of this life, what he has been able to acquire, that's all that's necessary to satisfy him. And the words of Jesus seem to be oblivious to this man. When we read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This man was foolish and did not think about that, did not have that in his mind. There's a poem that reads, there are a number of us, there are a number of us creep into this world to eat and sleep, and know no reason why we're born, but only to consume the corn. Devour the cattle, flesh and fish, and leave behind the empty dish. This man was only thinking about material things. And he foolishly thought that material things was all that he needed. A third fatal mistake that this man made was that he neglected his soul in his concern over material things. I don't want to give off the impression that it's wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to be rich, it's wrong to be spiritually destitute. Think about what Jesus writes to the church in Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's not the problem that they were rich, it's what they thought about it. His only concern was over material things. The Laodiceans, their problem was not that they were rich, it's that they was their only concern was for material things. Anyone who neglects their soul in quest for temporal riches, temporary things, is making a fool's mistake. I remind you of what Jesus says, Matthew 16, verse 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The problem with this rich fool was he was only concerned about material things, and it consumed him so much that he neglected his soul. It's a story. I have understood it to be probably what in the realm of fables. It's a short story that written by Leo Tolstoy. The title of the story is "How Much Land Does a Man Need?" And it, with great description and verbose words, the story is about a man that had very little, and he acquired a little more. And then he heard about some other land somewhere else, and he wanted to go inquire that. And he went over to that spot, and he acquired that land. And then he heard about some more somewhere else that was being sold for super cheap. And when he got over there, he found out about the story. And the guy said, "Here, I will give you this land for this meager amount, and I'll give to you as much as you can walk around in a day." And the story goes on to describe this individual begins walking, and he's following the instructions and digging the holes to mark off his land. And he thinks, "I can go just a little further." And he goes a little further, and he digs some more, and he goes a little further, and he digs some more. And he's thinking, "You know, I've got to turn back around. I've got to get back to this place where I started in order to have this land." And he starts thinking, "I've got to turn back left. I've got to circle back around." But in his mind, all he's thinking about is, "I want more land." Such that he died while trying to acquire that land. It's reminding us of this idea of thinking about only things here on this earth. Again, don't get me wrong, we should be thinking about things here in their proper place. This man made a fatal mistake in neglecting his soul over his concern for material things. A fourth mistake, fatal mistake that this man made is that he foolishly forgot about death and assumed that he had many years to live. Notice again what he says. "I can sit back, I can take it easy. Eat, drink in many years. You have goods laid up for many years." He didn't think about what happens if I die tonight. It is ironic that at the very moment he was planning his future, God was decreeing that he had no future. I read I don't know if you'd call this a description, but it was something that kind of indicated the suddenness of what we read there in verse 20. "But God said to him, 'Fool!'" You know, that loud, that sudden, it was described as a crack of lightning, just that fast. This man had no future. Someone once remarked that Satan's not trying to convince us we're not going to die anymore. He just wants to convince us you're not going to die soon. This man had forgotten about death. Had forgotten to think about, well, what happens if I die tonight? The truth is that death can come without warning. And the death that can come is going to come whether you're popular, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're famous, whether you have plans, whether you're useless. Death can come suddenly and without warning. No one is guaranteed another day. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." I'm sure this audience is familiar with James's description of what is our life. James says, "Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, then vanishes away." We're not here for long. He goes on in verse 15 of James chapter 4 and says, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." What this man should have done is to say, "Thank you, God, for the abundance that you have provided for me. Thank you for the resources necessary that I can take down my barns and I can build larger. And thank you, Lord, for giving me this such that I can share with others. And Lord, if it is your will, I would like to do this or that." This man was a fool because he forgot God. Because he tried to satisfy himself with material possessions. Because he neglected his soul in quest for just the physical, the mundane things. This man was a fool because he forgot about death. Now, what I want us to remind us of is that this applies to all of us. Jesus applies this to everyone. In verse 21, he says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Don't miss the point. What we're trying to indicate here, what we're trying to remind ourselves of, is that other people make the same kind of mistakes that this rich fool made. And if we make those same mistakes that he made, we're a fool just like he is. It is a fool's mistake to leave God out of your thoughts and out of your plans. It is a fool's mistake to think that all we really need in this life is just material things, a house and car and food and clothing and things of that nature. It is a fool's mistake to neglect your soul chasing after those material things. What is going to be more important? Is it that I can work those extra hours, that I can have that extra time, I can have that extra money so that I can spend it on things here? And putting that more emphasis on that than on spiritual things? It is a fool's mistake to forget about death and to just assume that we got a lot of years under our belts. We got more time yet to come. Oftentimes, that is a problem with younger people. Out of high school, in college, and they're looking, they're planning their life, and they think, "Yeah, I've got plenty of time." I didn't think about this till just now. And my wife mentioned a young man, 15 years old, passed away because of an accident with an electric scooter, I believe. And that's just something that came to my mind just now. I am confident that this audience knows that death is no respecter of persons and certainly no respecter of age. A fool's mistake to forget about death and assume that we've still got many years to go. Now, as we think about all that, I want you to remember that none of this is saying it's wrong to have something in this life. This is not Jesus teaching that we need to be destitute of all things of this life. We need to release ourselves of everything and go live in a commune or in a hut somewhere. It's not what he's saying. And he's certainly not telling us that it's wrong to be rich, to be wealthy, to have things in this life. It's not wrong to obtain wealth, and it's not wrong to acquire more. I think one way that we can know that is because we see examples of godly men. Think about in the Old Testament what we have of Abraham. Abraham was a very, very rich man. He was a godly man. He was faithful. He was a righteous man. God counted him righteous. And think about what we read in the book of Job. Job was a wealthy man before he lost it all. He remained in his, he kept his integrity. He remained faithful to God. And what did God do? Did God keep him in that state and say, well, you know, I don't want that to hinder you any in the future, and so I'm not going to give you anything back? No, he gave him back more than what he already had. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to have things. What's wrong is not having material things, but being preoccupied with those material things. Letting that being first and foremost a priority in our lives. What needs to be, what must be, the highest priority in our lives is not an education, not a good career, not a house, not automobiles, not toys, not bank accounts, not retirement. What does Jesus say? We need to be rich toward God. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. If we adhere to what Paul tells Timothy there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, those mistakes that we've seen in this foolish man are just kind of going to disappear. The man who forgot about God, death, was concerned over material things. If we are listening to what Paul says to Timothy, we'll have the entirely opposite mindset. Now, as you think about all that, realize that again, this applies to each and every one of us. To those who are retired or are soon to be retired, it's not wrong for you to look forward to the freedom. It's not wrong for you to look forward to the enjoyment that you can have with the things that you've worked for. But don't retire from God. This applies to those who are financially secure, those who are comfortable financially. It's not wrong for us for mankind to prosper, but we need to realize that Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not wrong to prosper. But think about what Jesus presents for us in the parable of the sower and those things, the seed that had sown that had been scattered out there in the thorns. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, those among the thorns are those when they've heard go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. This applies to the young married individuals. Let me encourage you to not let the pressures and the demands of a family and the responsibilities to cause you to forget your priorities. I've said it before, and I will continue to say it because I think it is entirely right. I know firsthand that there are young mothers who have expressed, I'm not trying to judge their heart one way or the other, but I've heard, you know, I'm sorry that my child is acting up and things like that, and I'm doing the best I can, and I apologize for any distraction and stuff. Let me just tell you right now, I just happened to look at Brady, and I was thinking about, you know, planning stuff, and I mentioned Brady's name. I'm very much like my father in that when I look at the audience, I'm looking in the big scope of things. I'm not paying particular attention to what you and your child are doing necessarily. With the young people that are focused and trying not to be a distraction, I'm going to continue to encourage you, you keep bringing them. Keep bringing them and letting them sit here. Even if it's going to be difficult, they don't want to go to Bible class. If they're screaming and hollering when you leave them to go, keep bringing them and putting them in Bible class. Don't let the pressures of responsibilities, don't let your children, your family, cause you to forget about your priorities in regards to God. This applies to the young people who are planning their lives, their careers. They're thinking about their future. They're almost out of high school. They've gotten out of high school. They're getting their education. They're starting their jobs. Don't leave God out of your plans. Don't leave God out of your ambitions. Don't leave God out of the decisions that you're making. You're looking at a couple of jobs. One's going to require some work over the weekend, and another is not. The one that's requiring you to work over the weekend might be more financially sound. It might make you more money, but the other will not. But you don't have to work on weekends. Make sure God is part of those decisions and putting God first. The question that we need to ask ourselves, have I been making the kind of mistakes that this rich fool made? Remember that he forgot God. He forgot he needed more than just material things on this earth. He neglected his soul. He forgot that death could come without warning. This man let his possessions possess him, and he wasn't rich toward God. And probably most of us know from time to time we've made those same kind of mistakes. But what each one of us can be thankful for is God has given us time to realize that. With this rich fool, God said, "Fool, this night a soul shall be required of you." God has given us time to realize mistakes that we may make, given us time to put our perspectives in the right order. And so the way that I want to close this study is by urging you to renew your determination, to keep your priorities straight, especially during this mixed up world. Well, all around us is telling us, get some more, acquire this, acquire that. Others may think that life is meaningless. It's just a game of seeing how many toys we can accumulate before we die. We need to remember, we serve God. And we're seeking salvation. And what we have is not as important as what we are. And I want us to be reminded of the tragedy that would come if we wait too long to change. There are some members who have known that they need to repent of sin in their lives. They need to confess their faults before God. And they plan to do it someday. But they wait too long. Perhaps like the man in the story, just another little bit further. I'll do it this day. I'll do it that day. And then that day never comes. We realize that there are many non-Christians who know that they need to believe in Jesus Christ, that they need to repent of their sins, they need to confess their faith in Jesus Christ, that they need to be baptized in order to have their sins washed away. And they plan to do it someday. But they wait too long. While there are many who are planning to change some later time, time eventually runs out. And God says, "Thou fool, thy soul is required of you." It's going to be terrible to face eternity knowing you've wasted your life chasing wrong things and waited too long to be saved. Now is the time. Here's the opportunity that you have. And if we can assist you in any way in making your life right with God, we bid you come as together we stand and sing.